I thought about preaching this morning on things to shoot for in 24. And I was going to preach on shoot for being a caring sower. The Bible said a sower went forth to sow. And I was going to preach on shoot for being a faithful assembler. The Bible says don't forsake yourself from assembling. And I was going to preach on shoot for being a disciplined prayer. But I'm beginning my 42nd year here at the church and 43rd year of preaching. And I've been trying to get people to come to church for 43 years. And I've figured out that ones that's going to come is going to come. And the ones that ain't going to come, they ain't going to come. And no matter how much you preach on it, those things are needed. The Apostle Paul, if he wrote Hebrews, and I believe he did, the Apostle Paul is the one that said, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. And certainly there's always a reason to pray. And Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. So we all have enough trouble to keep us praying if we know anything about God. Amen. And we ought to all be sowing seed. If we've been saved, we ought to be doing some kind of a ministry of seed sowing, whether it's placing a track on the table or attending the visitation program or whatever it is. If we're saved, we ought to be like them leopards over in the book of Kings. We found something good, and we don't do good if we keep it to ourselves. This morning, I want to preach for a few minutes this morning. If you'd turn to 2 Corinthians, we're only going to read one verse there. And really just a portion of that verse. And then we're going to go to Philippians. And our message will be out of the book of Philippians this morning. All right, book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Great chapter in the Bible. And a lot of great verses there. Paul talks about our gospel in verse 3, being hid to those that are lost and how that Satan has blinded their minds. But then Paul makes a statement in verse 5, and he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ and Him crucified. Thank you. Father, we come to You this morning, and what a joy it always is to open up the Word of God. And Lord, to try to preach, and try is all we'll do if we don't have the help of the Lord. But Lord, we know we will have, because we are told in the Scripture we can boldly proclaim, the Lord's my helper. Now, Father, we thank You for all the faces that we see week after week, and how we thank God for those that are faithful week after week. Thank God for those that, Lord, have been sick, and now they've been touched by the Lord, and they're enabled to be back in service today. We're thankful for that. We're thankful to see that we got folks in the church that when the burden gets heavy, they know where to go. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful, Lord, for those that lifted up their voice in praise this morning to a worthy, worthy God. And Father, we're thankful for those that may be visiting here for the very first time. And we pray the Lord would speak to their hearts, and the Lord would help, encourage, direct, and guide them, Lord, in whatever might be going on in their life today. And Lord, we're praying. We're praying for a soul or souls to be saved, Lord, in the month of January. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. We give Him all the praise. And Lord, I ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Paul, unlike myself, and unlike many of you, and even Paul, maybe not as much as we did, but Paul, unlike myself many times, I preach myself sometimes. And I preach, instead of preaching Christ crucified, I preach me glorified. And I've heard some great preachers say that. That in their ministry they find themselves. I remember preaching a few years ago in a Jubilee meeting, and I remember preaching that night and going to my motel room and weeping over the message, weeping because it was too much of me and not enough of him. And I try to guard from that if I can. We're all human. But even the Apostle Paul, Ivor Powell, in one of his books, he goes over to Acts 17 where Paul goes to Mars Hill. And you can read the account there, and Paul is there with all those philosophers and all those different people, and they have shrines all over the place dedicated to different gods. And in case they might miss one, they even had a shrine dedicated to the unknown God, in case they missed one. And Ivor Powell says, and if you read through the text, it's right, that's about the only time that Paul never did mention the name Jesus Christ personally. He talked about that man, and he talked about him, but he never did mention the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know if Paul was intimidated by all the philosophers or if it was just the flesh that got a hold of him, but I do know that Paul left there and he went to the church at Corinth. And it was there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, it was there that Paul made a determination. And Paul said, I'm determined to not know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It was almost like Paul said from now on. He said, I'm not going to preach anything but Christ and Him crucified. Now, when we go to the prison epistle of Philippians, we find there that Paul is a man of his word. We find that Paul, after Corinthians, that Paul mainly preaches Christ and Him crucified. And the only thing worth preaching is Christ. The only thing that really helps is Christ. The only one that can really save is Christ. And we want to look here in the book of Philippians chapter 1. And I want to look at Paul preaching Christ in the book of Philippians. First of all, in verse 3, we find that Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And in verse 2, before that, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is here. He's preaching. He's writing. He's talking about thanking Christ. All the praise, all the any accolades that we might have for anyone or anybody, they should all end up at the feet of Christ. Paul mentions Jesus Christ as to whose servant he is in verse 1. Paul says, Paul and Timotheus, a servant of Christ Jesus. And then Paul mentions the saints. He said, and the saints which are in Christ. And then he mentions grace and peace which come from Christ. Notice how everything goes back on Christ. And certainly I found out in years of preaching that God, the Holy Spirit, will always bless when you preach and lift up Christ. I remember years ago walking around in my office on a Sunday afternoon, and it was one of those evenings that I had two sermons on my mind. And the only worst thing for a preacher not having any sermon is to have two, and you don't know which one to preach. And I remember walking around, and I can remember saying, Lord, I appreciate the thoughts, but I get so tired of trying to decide what sermon to preach. And it was like the Holy Spirit instantly impressed upon me this thought. And the Holy Spirit seemed to say, which one's got the most about Jesus in it? And one of them was all about Jesus. And that night, I learned something that night. I stood back. I perceived. I received instruction. From that day to this day, whenever I've got sermons on my mind, I always examine which one has the most of Jesus in it. Now there is times, and this may sound odd to you, but there is times that neither one of them may have much about Jesus in them. You may be preaching on a topic or a subject, you may not say a lot about Christ. But R.G. Lee, that great Southern Baptist preacher, R.G. Lee said, don't matter where you preach from, what text you take, he said, take a text and head for the cross. He said, make sure that no matter where you start, you end up at the cross. And so I see Paul, and he's preaching about thanking Christ. I sat in my office yesterday. Really, I was there all day. And I was doing some things and then studying some and coming back to the message today. And I was thinking on the thought of being thankful to Christ. Paul said, we ought to be thankful to the Lord. And I was thinking, this thought come to my mind, I thought we would be more thankful if we didn't have so much. We have so much that sometimes we have so much because we don't really need it, or it's not something we really had to have, that oftentimes we just kind of take it for granted. But what was amazing to me is later on that day I was reading a book by Martin Luther. And Martin Luther lived in the 1400s. I don't agree with everything the man said, but in that book, Martin Luther, 1400s, here I am down here in 2024, and Martin Luther made this statement. He said, we would be more thankful if we didn't have so much. You say, what is that? Well, Briley, the other day, Briley said, Brother Rick, he said, if you hear my sermon this morning on the radio, he said, don't think I got it from you. He said, I already had it before you preached yours. I said, Brother Briley, I said, we got the same book, Bible, King James Bible. I said, we got the same book. I said, we got the same Holy Spirit. And I said, therefore, we ought to come up with the same thing a lot of times. Amen. So it's all the Lord's. But I find here that Paul says that we should frequently give thanks to the Lord. Matter of fact, he says, always, in every prayer, he said, I'm giving thanks to God. So he says, real frequently. I think about the Lord Jesus this morning, and I think about the Lord blessed the food in John 6 before he even had it. I mean, all he had was some fish and loaves. That's all he had. But he thanked God for it before it became the multiplied loaves. And you and I sometimes, you know, we'll never thank God until we got it in our hand. But I've learned over the years, I've learned it's a good practice to thank God for it before you ever get it. Amen. Amen. I think about Jesus blessing the food when there was a shortage. I think about the Apostle Paul in Acts 27, and Paul blesses the food and blesses to the Lord in the middle of a storm right after the storm. Paul blesses. Amen. So oftentimes you and I, we only bless when the storm's over. When the storm's past is the only time we bless. But I think the Lord is teaching us here that it's good to praise the Lord right in the middle of the storm. When the sun's not shining, when it looks like there's no answer, just praise God anyway. Amen. That's what Habakkuk said. I think about Jesus in John 21. Did you ever notice this, you Bible students? Did you ever notice this? In John 21, there's no record of Jesus blessing the food. I'm sure he did, because that was the way he always did. But there's no record of it. You say, why? Peter doesn't say, Lord, don't we need to bless this? You say, why? He's in a hurry. He's starving. He's fished all night. Brother Mike, some of these men here this morning that fish, they'll testify to the fact, and I'll say amen, there's never any greater hunger than when you fished all day and ain't taking nothing. Starve to death when you come in. But I want you to notice that the Lord, He blessed the shortage of food. Paul blessed in the storm. And it looks like these men may have been so hungry that they just skipped the blessing that day. I don't know if that's the case or it just ain't recorded. But we ought to always be thankful for the Lord. Amen. Paul was thanking Christ. He was thanking Christ frequently. He was thanking the Lord for the fellowship in verse 5. For your fellowship. Without Jesus Christ, we can have no fellowship with God apart from Jesus Christ. I like what John said. John said that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But I'm also glad that we can have fellowship one with another. Amen. My, what a wonderful time we had New Year's Eve. And the food was good. The service was great. Brother Epps preached good, enjoyed himself. And after it's over, we all went up to the upper building. And we all went up there. And we sat around and just fellowship to about 10:30 that night. And you know what? It was good. Fellowship is important. And folks that don't go to church and don't think they need church, they're missing a great thing in their life. They're missing the joy of fellowship. Amen. That's why we have these preachers' fellowships. That's why we have Jubilee and services like that. It's because of the fellowship. It'll help you. It'll help you. One way it'll help you is you'll find out other people get sick too. Other people have financial problems too. Other people have family problems too. And that'll help you to realize that the brother suffers the same affliction that you do. And then Paul is thanking God in verse 6 for the finished product, even though it's not finished. Paul talks about that Jesus Christ that had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the end. Amen. Listen, don't thank God. Listen, thank God for what you're not, but what you're going to become. Amen. Listen, now you get discouraged at yourself, and I do too. And you get all down and out and flustered because you ain't made much progress in the Christian life. But listen, just stop and look where you started at. Look where you are now. Now you may not be where you want to be or where you hope to be by this time, but you're sure a long ways from where you started. Amen. But listen, what you see today is not what I'm going to finish up with. I'm going to finish up looking just like Christ and acting like Christ and talking like Christ. And I'm glad, thank God, going to be a finished product. I'm glad it ain't going to always be like this. A man asked Brother Mitchell, said, Brother Billy, do you think we'll look like this when we get to heaven? And Brother Billy said, do you really want to? Amen. No, we're going to look a lot better there than we do here. And so I see Paul, and Paul is thanking Christ. You ever thank Christ? Our services ought to be filled with people just thanking Christ for what He's done, what He's going to do, what He is right now in the midst, just thanking Christ. And I see here, I want you to look at verse 18. And Paul says, not then withstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. We see Paul preaching Christ. Preaching is not always from a pulpit. Someone said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. In other words, preach it by the way you live. by the way you act, what people hear you say. Amen. I think about Randy Pike, who went home to be with the Lord this last year. And Randy Pike was a missionary over in Australia for about 30 years. He was paralyzed from the waist down, and he spent his life as a missionary over on the foreign fields, wrote a lot of books. I had the privilege of spending a day with him many, many years ago. But Randy had been sick. Brother Pike had been sick for the last many years. And Brother Campbell went to see him. Brother Johnny went to see him. And he said he went into the room there where he'd been bedfast for a long time. And he went in the room, and Brother Randy looked up. And he said, "Brother Johnny, my bed has now become my pulpit." In other words, he was still preaching from his bed. Amen. Listen, I like preaching. Paul liked preaching. And you know what Paul said preach? Paul said preach the gospel. The gospel. Dr. Lakin said years ago, Dr. Lakin was preaching to a bunch of young men, and they were asking questions. And someone said, "Dr. Lakin," said, "have you got any advice for a young preacher like me?" Dr. Lakin said, "Learn to preach the gospel." He said, "The gospel's the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ." And he said, "If you took cigarettes, long hair, and miniskirts away from a lot of preachers, they wouldn't have a sermon left." He said, "Learn to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Paul was a man that preached the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Christ. He said, "I'm not ashamed of it." Sometimes preachers will get ashamed to preach a little simple message like John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And they'll think, "Well, I've preached that, and I've preached that, and others have preached it, and it's so simple, and just almost embarrassed to preach it." I read about Harold Seitler, a great preacher from down in North Carolina, and Brother Seitler went to preach a great big conference, and he was a lot of preachers there. And he was praying about what to preach on the way over there. And he said the Lord laid John 3:16 on his mind. Said he argued with God all the journey. "Lord, these preachers know that. They preach that. Lord, I know there's something else I could preach." And he argued with God all the way there. But he'd been preaching long enough to know that you better go with God. If it don't seem like the song you ought to sing, but God says sing it anyway. If it don't seem like the sermon you ought to preach, preach it anyway. Dr. Seitler said he walked to the pulpit and opened his Bible to John 3:16. And he preached that morning on that verse, John 3:16. And when he concluded, God moved and blessed. And the whole church was on the altar. The whole church was down there praying and seeking God. Paul believed in preaching the gospel. Guy King, who is a great, great writer. And you preachers, if you don't have Guy King's books, you need to get all of Guy King's books. But Guy King says on verse 16 of Romans 1, he says that Paul was determined to preach the gospel. And he says that Guy King says the reason Paul was so determined to preach the gospel is because he rings it out in four fours. Four, F-O-U-R, four. Four, F-O-R. And he says, you look at that verse and dissect it. He said, first of all, he said, "For the people it serves. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He says, It's everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to Greek. That's just a way of saying that the gospel fits everybody. Everybody needs the gospel. Because everybody's lost. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel because it'll serve the people no matter who they are. No matter where they come from, what color their skin is, what level their intellect is. He said, for the people's sake. And then he says, for the power it holds. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the dynamite of the Word of God. The gospel. You think about it. You think about it. You say, I've been going to church all my life. I've heard about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But did you ever think about this? You're sitting here today. You're not the drunk you used to be. You're not the fornicator or the adulterer you used to be. You're not what you used to be because one day you heard the gospel. And it had the power to change your life and my life. And it'll change people today. He said, for the power that it holds. Paul said, for the problems it solves. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven. You know what our number one problem is today? If we're not saved, our number one problem is how can we be right with God? The gospel solves that. Amen. The gospel fixes it so that a man can be justified before God because of what Christ did when He died. Amen. You know, in these preceding verses there, Paul even says, some preach Christ even of envy. Paul said there's somebody and some people that preach Christ because they envy somebody else preaching Christ. They see a man up there preaching, gets God on him. They see people giving him accolades and standing up and testifying. And they see a little glory in that. And they envy that. And they say, I want to be a preacher. Because so-and-so is a preacher. Listen, you better do what Paul Harvey said. Get the whole story. There's a lot more to it than just an hour on Sunday morning. But Paul said some were preaching out of envy. Paul said that some were preaching for strife. Some people just preach to keep a turmoil going all the time. To nitpick and strain at logs and strain at things that don't really amount to anything. And they just preach out of strife to keep something tore up all the time. And then Paul says, some preach also of goodwill. Some preach because they just say, you know, that'd be a good thing to do, to preach. Be a good thing to do with your life is to surrender to the Lord and preach the gospel. It would be a good thing to do if God called you to do it. I still believe that God sends them. According to Romans 10, how shall they preach except they be sent? You don't preach just because you want to because somebody else is preaching. You don't preach just so you want to get up and straighten everybody out. I've seen preachers come in and kill a camp meeting because they felt like that they were God's servant to come in and straighten everybody else out. I've seen that happen. Well, we don't preach. We're not to preach for envy, not for strife, not just because it's something good, but still, Paul says, hey, Christ is still getting preached. See, Paul is so determined on Christ getting preached that even if they're doing it for the wrong motive or the wrong reason, He's not praising them for envying and preaching out of envy or strife or even because of the goodwill, but He is praising the fact that Christ is preached. For the people it serves, for the power it holds, for the problem it solves, and for the pardon it brings. And the Bible says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." Watch verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." But you see, the gospel takes care of my problem about the wrath of God. You say, why? Because the gospel brings a pardon to all that receive it. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not up here preaching today that the gospel brings a parole. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you get paroled and you mess up, you may have to go back in. But if you get a pardon, you're done. And I'm glad this morning that I got a pardon, thank God. I'm not worrying about getting lost again. I'm not worried about going to hell again. You say, why? Because I got an unconditional pardon from the Lord, thank God. That's good news. Isn't that what we call the gospel? Good news. Good news. We see Paul thanking Christ in chapter 1. We see Paul preaching Christ in chapter 1. Look at verse 23. "For I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." We see Paul desiring Christ. Paul is desiring Christ. He says, "For me to live is Christ." In other words, he'd become all of his life. Oh, how he loved the man that he met on the Damascus Road. He loved that man so much that he met on the Damascus Road, he was willing to die for him on the Romans Road. You say, what do you mean? And over there in the Mamertine prison in Rome, that's where Paul died. But Paul loved the Lord. He had a desire to be with the Lord. He desired Christ. He desired to live for Christ. He said, "For me to live is Christ." He said, "If I live, I'm going to live for Christ. If I live, I'm just going to keep living for the Lord day by day. Every day, I'm just going to keep living for the Lord." You see, a lot of people can't make that statement, "For me to live is Christ." They'd have to say, "For me to live is sports," or "For me to live is the stock market," or "To me to live is politics." But Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." I like what that little girl said at the play around Easter. And she's supposed to quote Psalms 23 and verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But she got her lines mixed up. And she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." Yeah, God help us to get to that place where that we want to live for Christ. That's all we want to do is live our life for Jesus Christ. Count for God. You see, Paul desiring Christ. He's desiring to live for Him. Do you want to live for Him today? He's desiring to labor for Christ. Look at verse 22. "But I live in the flesh, and this is the fruit of my labor." He said, "I not only want to live for Christ, I want to labor for Christ." In other words, I want to do something for Jesus. Up on the old mission, on the square where we started this church 42 years ago, They've recently opened up a consignment shop in there. And I almost stopped the other day and asked them if I could just walk around and look a little bit. Because I remember when we started up there a long, long time ago. And we'd meet on Wednesday night. We'd just have a few. Well, come to think about it, we still just got a few. But we'd meet and gather in there. without a piano player and sometimes without a song leader. We'd all sing, "We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes." Amen. That's still the agenda. We're to keep laboring and working for God and doing something for the Lord. Preaching, teaching, supporting a local church, youth group, Bible school, bus ministry. There's always something to do for Christ. And Paul said, "I'm desiring Christ that I'd live for Him, that I'd labor for Him." And then Paul says, to depart and be with Christ, to live for Him, to labor for Him, and to lodge with Him. Paul said, "I want to live with Jesus." Amen. I think Paul was, you know, a human. And you can almost see that when he says, "For I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless," sounds like us, you know, "I want to go live with Christ." "Oh, you won't die today." "Oh, nevertheless, no. I want to live a little longer, but when it gets time, I want to go lodge with Christ." He said, depart and be with Christ. Isn't that a thought? I don't know how it is, but sometimes we go to church, sing songs, preach sermons, and pray prayers, and never think about Him. But Christ is all in all. That's the name of Brother Altop's new CD, "Christ is All in All." It used to be an old missionary we knew years ago. I don't know if he's still living. I don't know what become of him. He was in Japan. His name was Richard Yerby. In every letter Richard Yerby would write me, he'd sign that letter, "Christ is all in all. Christ is all in all." Well, I'm not there yet. I'm confessing this morning, I'm not there yet. But I want to be there. I want Him to be in every thought of my mind. I want Him to be in every moment of my day. I want Him to be in every hour I live, every year I live. I want Christ to be all in all. See, Paul, a lot of times I hear people say, "Well, I know that preacher and I know what he preached, but he don't live that." Well, Paul lived it. Paul said, "I'm determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified." Read his sermons, read his writings after that. It's all about Christ. Father, we come this morning and truly